The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org.
Welcome to the first full episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm Roger Bayranian along with Jason Matosian, and we are here to serve Christ and his church, to discuss topics related to the body of Christ. And by the end of the episode, you can decide who is the rod and who is the staff. In this episode, we will be exploring the topic of divine providence. Now, you might be thinking, why this topic? Well, lately in our church, we've been going over the topic of God's sovereignty and his providence as we've been thinking about this global pandemic and how do we encourage the body of Christ during this time, thinking through how God is in control of the universe, but we live in a world that sometimes seems out of control. So we've been going through a series of different passages in Scripture that emphasize this part of the character of God. So we're going to discuss that in this episode today, thinking through divine providence and try to understand more of how that really applies to our lives. I think it would be helpful to start off with a definition of divine providence. There's many out there, and I'm going to share a definition from the London Baptist Confession. And here's how they describe God's providence. They say, God, the good creator of all things, in his infinite power and wisdom, upholds, directs, arranges, and governs all creatures and things, from the greatest to the least, by his perfectly wise and holy providence, to the purpose for which they were created. What do you think about that definition, Jason, as you've thought and read many different definitions in your studies on providence?
Yeah, I think I love confessions for this very reason, that they have worked so hard to kind of bring a definition down to its kind of clearest. And I know it seemed like some people might think it's a long definition, but it's actually quite concise to capture all that's important here with regard to the theme or the topic of divine providence. For me, what has been standing out recently in all these different definitions that I've been reading is that the part with regard to just kind of the wisdom of God. You know, it says by his perfectly wise and holy providence. And honestly, I think wisdom, God's wisdom and providence go hand in hand. When you see God's plan play out the way it plays out, you can't help but be in awe of that wisdom, that glorious maneuvering and directing and governing. That's why all those words kind of come together. And I love it. I was just telling you, Roger, that I'm working on an article. I probably will post it on my site, magnifychrist.org. Shameless plug. I'll probably have it up by tonight. But in that article, I'm thinking a lot about this theme of the wisdom of God with regard to providence.
Yeah, when you say wisdom, it made me think, as we're thinking about life right now, what somebody might say and what somebody might push back and say, well, where is the wisdom in life seeming to be so hard for people right now, or life falling apart? There doesn't seem to be an end to this, and people are fearful and anxious. And yeah, if God is so wise, why is this happening right now?
Yeah, such a great question. And exactly what I think people are thinking, right? That's where they're at. And I love that, you bring that out kind of immediately at the outset of this discussion, because we want to get right into practical things and show how theology and life are really intertwined. I was thinking about that theme too. And look, if we didn't believe in providence, then this is all meaningless and this is all purposeless. And we should be really kind of hopeless at this point. But if you understand divine providence and how God so wisely turns that which was meant for evil, that which was evil, for good, if you think about Joseph's life, for instance, which is what I address in my article, if you think about in the moment that he's enduring that, he can't see the good that's going to come out of it. He's in a sense, he's kind of in that blind darkness, but because he sees God and he knows God, he knows there's meaning. He knows there's purpose, even if he can't see. I like the way, I want to read this. I like the way Watson, Thomas Watson addresses this. He says, with regard to providence, he says, providence is a Christian's diary, but not his Bible. Mm. And like that. Providence helps us to look back and go, yeah. Wow, look how wise God is and how he brought us through this. It's not meant to be, you know, our direction. It's God's directing, but it's not our direction. I don't know if that made sense.
Yeah, that's good. In looking back, yes. and because you can't see it in the moment, it doesn't always make sense. It's always in the rearview mirror where you see how God puts together different events. I always like that definition that talks about God ordering events.
Yes,
and we can't see that. But when we look back, we can see how all the dots connect in his wisdom, which does bring up a good point as we're thinking about the topic is there's, of course, misunderstandings of divine providence. You know, anything from one who thinks God just started the world and let it go as it is to God is in control of every single event and involved in everything. But as you think about that on a high level, the misunderstandings, what do you sense is an important, where do you see people falling and not quite grasping the understanding of providence according to how it's described in the Bible compared to how they're connecting it maybe even to their life?
Yeah. I think the risk always with kind of this wrong understanding of providence. So we believe that God is actively involved in every moment of every event in all of creation, right? So, you know, we talk about it in looking at scripture, you know, you roll the dice or you're casting lots and God is the one directing that. It's not an accident. It's not luck of the draw or anything like that. It's God directing each and every one of these things. And R.C. Sproul, of course, famously has said, there's not even one maverick molecule, right? If there was one maverick molecule, you know, that would come and undo all that God has done. Well, I think one of the misunderstandings of when you take that kind of this exhaustive, or I think some people will call this meticulous, providence, they then turn it into some sort of fatalism, where our humanity doesn't matter anymore. And it's a very robotic automaton, whatever the way of saying that is. So I think sometimes, and how that plays out is people then say, well, then my sins, clearly God is the cause of my sin or my sins, those evil things that I'm doing. And now I can wash my hands. I'm no longer responsible. Yeah. I think that's one of the key misunderstandings that somehow
But it's interesting because you think even in God's providence, sin exists, and we do sin. It doesn't excuse us from it.
Yeah.
But in a way, it's part of his divine plan that even redeemed believers are going to wrestle and fall into sin.
Yeah. And it's interesting. He in the London Baptist Confession, you know, it addresses that very, very clearly. And I love the way they put it. They say, God's providence over sinful actions does not occur by simple permission. Instead, God most wisely and powerfully limits and in other ways arranges and governs sinful actions. That's important. Then he goes on, Through a complex arrangement of methods, he governs sinful actions to accomplish his perfectly holy purposes. Yet he does this in such a way that the sinfulness of their acts arises only from the creatures and not from God.
Yeah.
So God is not sinning, even though he is directing and even ordaining sin. Yeah, that one, leave it to the divines to think through that one carefully.
Yeah, I was reading a recent book that made the point when it was talking about struggling with remaining sin, that God has ordained for you to have remaining sin and to wrestle and struggle with it for the purpose of drawing you to dependence on him and not to your own strength and your own ability to overcome, but to rest in him. And there is periods of time, right, where you fall and you can have a season where it seems like you're just stuck. But God still oversees all that. And I think, you know, as we can't avoid the events that are happening today, that if we're not thinking about divine providence, our mind is going to go to the completely wrong place. And we're going to fall into those traps of, you know, the implications of our beliefs. You know, they connect to how we're responding to the things of life. The, you know, we hear every day there's a governor talking about something.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the divine governor. He's just a man appointed governor. But do we really believe that God oversees and is in control over all of them? That's where the rubber really meets the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And push on the topic of sin a little, because I think this is important. You were saying, you know, sometimes the Lord ordains for us to go through a period of struggle with sin. I would say, obviously, since we say he's directing all things, that whenever we're in sin, somehow he's directing that. Sure.
Yeah.
But how important is that? Think about Peter.
Yeah.
If Peter hadn't gone through that time of denying Christ three times, would we have his letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, and some of the rich wisdom of watchfulness and alert, being alert, that comes out of that? And of course, on the other hand, the sins of non-believers too. If not for Judas' sin, there's no betrayal, there's no cross, etc. I mean, so yeah, he's sin is not an accident in God's plan. Even that he is carefully using. And so, I mean, when you hear that, how does that make you kind of feel about your own daily walk with the Lord? Are there any implications for our daily living out this journey with Christ when we know that he is actively involved in every part of this?
Yeah, I think that's where it brings out the major comfort and the major, you have that sense of God is for me, not against me. Even in my worst moments, because you're not focused on self anymore. You're focused and looking to Christ and seeing his grace even more. So even when you stumble and fall, when you look to the cross and remember that his grace is enough to cover all of your sin at that moment, that just builds in your heart a gratitude. If it's not building a gratitude for his grace and leading you more to him, then you're stuck on self and you're getting stuck in, I think Jerry Bridges calls it the performance trap, where you're just performing for God and you think that your sanctification, your holiness is all about yourself. How am I doing today? Did I check all the boxes off and did I obey the Lord and everything, forgetting that no, that's not the point. It's not your record that you should be looking at. It's the record of Christ. So I think even the London Baptist Confession talks about that time period of sanctification where you may go through that, but it can actually be something that turns for good. Romans 8:28 says, because you recognize, like Peter, Lord, you still love me when I'm a mess.
Yep.
You love me this much. You even put me back into ministry. I mean, today, it's you're disqualified, you're done, but you look at the Lord's grace and you're overwhelmed by how good he was. And then it was part of his plan. And then you're blown away because you're like, how? Yeah. It doesn't make sense to our limited minds, but that's why we need I think the good theology, I think that's why we need to pull back sometimes and say, look at what the scripture says. Look at how the scripture talks about divine providence from God's character, who he is.
Absolutely. And if you think about that, I want to emphasize that, look, without divine providence, events in our lives are meaningless. Mm-hmm. You know, they're arbitrary. They just happen, or they happen to us, or they happen for us. And sometimes we're lucky and sometimes we're not, or they're just empty of all meaning. But if you understand, I should say, that God is working and actively involved, and he's got an end in mind, mm-hmm. To conform us to the image of the Son for our salvation, all these things, then even the suffering, the battle, this pandemic, the fact that LA is locked up more than other cities in this state and even in the nation, there's purpose there. There's meaning, and he's working it out whether we see it now or not. I can imagine Joseph sitting in prison when the cupbearer forgets to tell Pharaoh about him, going, oh, come on, man. Like, now I'm stuck here. Or because he already walked with God for so long and seen God's hand of providence, he thought, okay, who can I serve in prison? Where's the opportunity God has prepared for me today? The good works that God wants me to walk in, like Ephesians 2 talks about. So knowing divine providence and that mysterious invisible hand, as they talk about, gives every moment purpose. I was just one other quick thing. I remember talking or reading a book called On Being a Pastor. I don't know if you remember that book.
Yeah,
but
I remember that book. Yep.
One of the authors was saying, it used to be that I thought people interrupting me in my study, they were interruptions,
Yeah.
And then I began to think of them as God's kind of use. He's filling in my appointment book, and he allowed these people to come. And I thought, wow, that understanding of providence is helpful. It gives even those interruptions meaning that we ought to consider.
So let me ask you, because I think that's a good point of how it even plays out in our life and how we look back. So personally, how have you seen divine providence? Have you ever sat down and just looked back at your life and said, okay, now I see some of those dots connected, and they may not make perfect sense, but how have you seen his providence working? Maybe they were good circumstances or were very difficult ones, but anything you could share of how you've seen it play out?
Yeah. I mean, there's one that stands out to me, and some, I don't know if I should share, but I'll just share briefly. Yeah. I mean, before I went to seminary, I was in law school. And I thought I was going to be an attorney, and that was the direction that I was headed. I can't get into all the details, but there were some things that were going on in my life in that one semester that I did at law school that probably I could, now that I look back, I could see that the Lord was using those things to turn my attention away from law school. That at the time I thought were interruptions or frustrations I didn't see them as God's hand, but he was directing me in this kind of invisible way through these secondary causes, interactions with certain people, relationships I had, and through those things just turned my attention to, his service. And so I look back on that, and it was God's hand, and I'm grateful for it. Yeah. That's just kind of one. I don't know. How about you in your life?
Yeah, there's been multiple scenarios that I haven't forgot, over the years. I think the biggest one was when I first went to seminary. I actually started at Dallas Seminary, and I was living in LA at the time, and I got in my car with a buddy of mine, and we both drove from Los Angeles to Dallas, Texas. And I remember just that, leaving California, I said I'd never come back. I was a single guy back then, and I was done. And just during that semester, the Lord was working on my heart, and these circumstances were happening where there was a night where I went into my buddy's room and I said, you know what? I think I need to go back to LA. Mm. I don't think I'm here for the right reasons and my focus. And, you know, I called back to Master Seminary and said, you think this could work out? And it was like all of these events were being put back together. And then I eventually came back, eventually got married, and just ministry and everything all worked together. Yeah. He was ordering things I never thought of. I had this plan, but then God was working behind the scenes, changing my heart, but also changing the circumstances to allow it to occur. Yeah. You know, even the first time we met, you know, I think it was an email I sent you. You know, Lalit was going to your Bible study, and I'm like, who's this Jason guy? You know, I want to meet him and ask him some questions about things. And I emailed you, and you said, yeah, let's have lunch.
Oh, I mean, man, that was a long time ago.
You had a lot less gray hairs back then. But
I had a lot more hair, too.
But yeah, just even in that, you know, it was sometimes we think in life, oh, it just happened,
right?
You know, or good, it was luck that day, or you know, but we don't realize it wasn't just a chance encounter. It wasn't just, oh, this just happened. God was working and overseeing that, and there's a mystery to our minds.
And honestly, and I know you've endured quite a bit of suffering just in growing up in your life prior to knowing Christ, and others too. And we've all had some level of suffering as people living in this world. And even that suffering, you know, how many people that I've talked to, it was their suffering that drew them into a deeper relationship with the Lord, or it was their suffering that caused their life to take a detour that then ended up being this open door to whatever good things the Lord had planned. So it's God's providence, God's hand. It's there in our suffering. It's there in what we would consider the good times, the bad times. He's just, I had a definition that I think I read it in my sermon on a Sunday too, but I just like the real simple definition. God's providence is his continual involvement with his creation. Mm-hmm. And I think it's Thomas Watson and others too. They say there's a particular providence for his people, his church, and he's our father. And his providence is grounded in his fatherly love for his church. And so even suffering, even painful times, he's using. We see that in Joseph, and you preached on Romans 8:28. We see it in that passage.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so much in this topic to talk about. There's so many scriptures that give us illustrations of how God's providentially working, you know, from the Israelites all the way up into the New Testament and Jesus' arrival and his entire life. Yeah, you see God's hand, and we could talk for a long time on this topic and not get to the depth of this topic. But as we, you know, we talked about in this episode, you know, let's wrap up here and just think about what we could take away from today. What's one thing to think about?
Yeah, I just, one of the things that came up in our conversation, I think is really important for us, and I want to ponder it more, and I hope others will too, is how important trusting God's providence is when we are even struggling with sin, right? When we're, you know, you brought that up. I thought that was so helpful, so insightful that, you know, when we're dealing with sin, we need to realize that God is not somehow outside of that.
Yeah,
that he is actively involved even in that. And that's not to promote sin, okay?
Yeah.
But it's to promote the goodness that our Heavenly Father brings out of our struggles, even with sin.
Yeah.
What about you? Anything that...
That's great. Yeah. Just the Watson quotes. Watson is just so great at his words. And I think of just thinking God is involved even in our suffering. Yeah. Is a good encouragement. God is involved in our sin, as you brought up, our good encouragements for our soul. I think this topic is something we should revisit again and think through even more. And I hope our listeners were encouraged today with our topic. And thank you for joining us today.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodnstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.